You remember the, this is not my message, but do you remember the time when the Canaanite woman came up to Jesus and said, my daughter is possessed? You remember? It took really courage for her, actually, because really they were the outcasts of the area and not liked by Jews, but that woman, that mother wasn't giving up, was she? You ever, there was an old preacher named Billy Sunday. I don't know if you ever remember Billy Sunday. He said, if the devils in hell ever turned pale, it was the day a mother's love flared up for the first time in a woman's heart. I like that. Huh? It's good stuff. Yeah, mothers make sacrifices. I know it full well. I was reading actually an illustration too about a farmer whose barn burnt down. And it was powerful because of what Jesus said. But when he was kicking through the barn, the ashes, he actually saw a mother hen that had been scorched in the flames, killed, burnt. And when he just moved her aside, her chicks alive ran out from underneath her. And she had saved them by her sacrifice. Remember what Jesus said? It was the time when he revealed the heart of God. And what did he say? He looked over Jerusalem and said, like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, so I would have loved to gather you, the children of Israel. You know, only God's love is greater than a mother's love. Can you say amen to that? I heard it said that when God is ready to change a nation or an empire, he uses a mother and her baby. Well, think about it. It's true. And so I want to tell a story this morning about a mother that doesn't usually get too much glory, yet her name is in the Hall of Fame in the faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Her name is Jochebed. How many remember Jochebed? Anybody? Jochebed, yeah. Moses' mother. It's a story of courageous love. It really is. It was interesting to find out that Jochebed means the glory of Yahweh. The glory of Yahweh. Actually, Jochebed was the mother of three famous people. Who were they? Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Yeah, in that order, right? Miriam the oldest, Aaron the middle, and Moses the baby. Yeah, do you remember the story, right? It's Exodus chapter 2. And just for a little bit of context, you know, we find out that my microphone is really sounding like I'm in a box today. So Jochebed was from the family of Levi. She was married to a Levite named Amram. So Moses became, you know, the most humble man that ever lived to be a friend of God, to talk face to face with God. Aaron was Israel's first high priest. First priest. And Miriam, well, Miriam was the gifted prophetess and musician who actually was instrumental in saving the baby Moses, if you remember the story. Yeah, so in this story, Pharaoh was getting quite intimidated by the Israelites who were growing in number. You remember how that happened? You see, when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up in Egypt, but he ended up saving his whole family when God miraculously raised him to the position of only second, Pharaoh was higher than him. He was second in command to store up all that grain. And as a result of it, he was able to save his whole family. His whole family came down and was able to live in safety and with the abundance of food during that time of drought and famine. And they stayed there. And they grew there into a mighty nation so much that the Egyptians were intimidated by them. And they actually enlisted them as slaves as a result of it, only to have them cry out to God. So in God's divine plan, what does he do? You know, God sees the big picture, right? And so him seeing the whole big picture of time, beginning and end, he understood that he wanted to raise up a deliverer to save his people. But now that was a challenge. Whenever Pharaoh saw the Israelites getting so numerous, he had issued a decree that all male babies be killed immediately at birth. Now, babies were born by midwives at that time, not doctors. And the midwives were Hebrew midwives. And so the Hebrew midwives, because they feared God, it said, they spared the babies. They wouldn't kill them. So Pharaoh issued another decree that anytime anyone would see a male baby, that they were to be thrown into the Nile River, fed to the crocodiles, basically, is what was going on. And so it was at this time that Jochebed became pregnant. And, you know, these were the days where they would have no clue whether it was a boy or a girl in the womb. Can you just imagine, you know, just her just worrying, wondering, is it going to be a boy? And if it is a boy, would he be taken from her, thrown into the Nile? The Egyptians worshipped the Nile, and they worshipped even crocodiles, and so it was like for them, you know, an offering to their gods. But for the one who knew the true God, you know, for Jochebed, a praying mother, a praying woman, she began to intercede for her child. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews when she's listed in the faith chapter. And when that boy was born, she saw that he was a godly child. Now, you know me with words and original words, and so the word godly child means that she already sensed that God had a divine plan for his life. And knowing that, she knew that she had to somehow spare his life. And so she tried to keep him until he was a couple of months old, but when she could no longer hide him, what did she do, church? Yeah. She actually built an ark, right? Now, I don't say that lightly because the word that is used in your Bible for the basket that she handcrafted is only ever used two times in the scriptures. One time here, and one time back in the days of Noah, when God commanded him to build an ark. The word ark is the same word that is used in that which she built by her own hands to house the baby Moses. Covered with pitch into the Nile, she let that baby go. Right? But, yeah, and he was probably laughing just like that. Now, that does a mother's heart good, yeah, laughing like that. Just as a side note, you know, hearing a baby's laugh is probably one of the greatest joys of motherhood, isn't it? It really is. Last night we were yesterday and last night, we were watching my youngest grandson. And he has the best laugh, honestly. He really has an incredible laugh, especially when he was trying to ride their dog, Lucy. And we actually captured it on video, Kim did. And just to hear that squealing child's laugh, oh my gosh. You want to talk about melt a mother or a father or a grandparent's heart, amen? Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing, you know, Jochebed is a woman of courage. And that's kind of the message for today. You know, mothers have to be women of courage. It takes courage to be a mom, but it takes really a lot of courage to be a godly mom, especially in the days we're living in. Amen? It takes a mom who's willing to be selfless and to sacrifice. And that's epitomized here in Jochebed. That's what she did. And I'm not only speaking to moms. I mean, today is Mother's Day, and I know that I want to certainly point this message toward women, toward mothers, but it's a message for all of us to live in courageous love, to live selflessly, to live a life of willing sacrifice for the greater good. Amen? For the greater good. There are lessons to speak to all of us. Guys, girls, yeah. See, Jochebed was willing to defy the order of Pharaoh to keep the commandments of God. Now that'll preach, Jack. Do you know what I mean? See, every child deserves a saved, sold out, and dedicated mother that refuses to give in to a godless system that would cost her the life of her son. Are you getting that? It's a prayer that God gives us parents who aren't afraid to take a stand for what is right these days, to do what's right. Men and women that demand more for their children and their grandchildren, by the way, than this world can give them. Parents who are willing to say, enough is enough. My child is going to learn the way of the Lord. People who will declare the same thing that Joshua declared in Joshua 24. Say it with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Very good. We need courageous parents, courageous grandparents, courageous people in these days that we're living in. Yeah, we do. The promise of God is that He will be with us, right? But I want to tell you what, when it comes time to have to release your child, is that hard to do? I mean, it takes courageous faith. I mean, I just picture her, you know, as she's putting this basket in the Nile and she's pushing it out into the stream, into the flow, that this mother, her heart is breaking, right? She's a praying woman and she's saying, God, you can do this. I know you can. I remember when we took our daughter to college, and I was doing fine, you know. I mean, they even did a seminar on how hard it is for parents to let their children go, and I was doing fine until it came this time to say goodbye. Oh, buddy, the faucets turned on, and I mean, it was hard. It's hard, right, to release a child. What does the scripture say, Jane? Train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it, right? Well, sometimes they get pretty old before that comes back to you, right? But a godly mother, Jane, never gives up, right? Never gives up. Now, there is a time when you have to release your children. When they get old enough to make their own minds up, right? When they become adults, you can't be the same kind of parent you were when they were three. You just can't. Now, you'll always be their mom, right? Always be their mom. And they'll know it, right? But in courageous love, you have to let them make their own decisions. But when you raise a child in the way they should go, that's the focus, right? There's such a short time. I mean, there's such a short time when they're this old. It goes just like that. Ask me, I know I'm old, I can tell you. It goes just like that. I'm watching my grandkids just grow old before my very eyes, and I can't believe it. I can't believe I have a 10-year-old grandson. You know, I just remember when it was in my arms, for goodness sake. I love that Facebook, you know, the memories that pop up. For goodness sakes, I look back and think, that was just yesterday, wasn't it? It goes by so quickly. You know, we start when they're young. I remember, you know, when my kids were in the womb praying for them. And I remember when my grandkids were in the womb praying for them, just speaking into their lives even then. It happens so fast. Raising a child in the way that they should go, it takes courage, right? It takes courage. Well, I told you that I would lighten it up a little bit. So I found this thing on how to be a stupid parent. I don't know if my name was there or not, but somebody erased it for the sake of the guilty, I guess. But here's what it says. Now listen to this. It says, now you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the opposite, right, of what you should do. So it says, Discipline your children only when you lose your temper. Let them get away with it until you're fed up. Then, in a spirit of hostility and anger, let them have it. Blow your top, holler, get wild, clobber them, make a brawl out of it. The children will really get a bang out of you. How about number two? Do not make yourself approachable. You might have to listen and reason with them. If you get too chummy, they'll want to talk things over with you. And who's got time to waste with the kids? You got more important things to do. Ouch. Number three, if they've done wrong, never let them forget it. Keep rubbing it in. They'll loathe you for it. Number four. Guilty, right? Give your children all the spending money they want. Don't make them earn it. Money in large quantities is an acceptable substitute for love. And after a while, he'll want only your money and couldn't care less about you. It's something like starving him on cream puffs. I thought that was good. How about number five? Compare your child with someone else to make him smarten up. Use that beautiful expression, "Why can't you be like Johnny?" He'll despise you and Johnny both. Number six, mother and father should disagree in regard to the rules for their children. Children will learn then a great lesson, how to play one parent against the other. Oh, I'm stamping on toes. Number seven, there's only eight. Never let the kids think for themselves. They haven't the equipment. That the reason may be in their heredity. Make all the decisions for them so they'll never, ever be able to handle life on their own. And you'll have them for life, right? Sometimes that's more true than you know. Number eight, treat them with suspicion. Just never trust those sneaky little creatures. If they turn out well, it won't be your fault. It'll be a miracle. I thought that was pretty cute. How to raise a child. You know, really, in the environment that our children, our grandchildren, for me, have to deal with right now, how much more do they need godly parents, godly grandparents? How much do they need godly influences? One of my greatest prayers for my grandchildren is bring godly influence into their lives, right? Not just good influence, that's fine, but godly influence into their lives. You know, the thing is, either God will define their morality or our culture will. That's the truth. Yeah. I got an illustration that talks about, you know, how culture can just redefine truth and morality. It's actually a story about Willie Nelson, right? Apparently, at one time, he owned a golf course. And here's what he said. He said, the great thing about owning a golf course was that he could decide what par each hole was. Now, listen to this. He pointed to the guy who was interviewing him, and he said, you see that hole there? It's a par 47, and yesterday I birdied it. I love it, you know? Yeah. I was reminded, though, about this Canaanite woman and what I said before about how Jesus was approached by her. And it was hard because when you read that story, Jesus says to her, I wasn't sent for you first. I was sent for the lost children of Israel. And it's not right. It's a hard saying. He says it's not right to give the dogs the children's bread. Doesn't that take you back for a second? Doesn't sound like Jesus. Until you really take a step back and understand what he was saying. You know, every one of us has only so much time and so much resource to give, right? And here's the lesson in that Canaanite story, woman's story. There will always be more things to do than you have time to do. There will always be, I guarantee you. I mean, truthfully, there will. If you can't prioritize in your life, then you know what? You're going to lose the precious time that you have with your children and grandchildren. Jesus was talking about that story. It's like the old story about the lighthouse keeper. Back in the days when the lighthouse was lit by oil, and how as this keeper was doing his job, people from the community would come to him and say to him, hey, we're running short on oil this month. Could you lend us some of yours? You know, and he, thinking he was gracious, would give them the oil, right? And this went on, and pretty soon, when a terrible storm came, he had discovered that he ran out of oil for the lighthouse. And as a result of it, that night, thousands of lives were lost because there was no light. You see, that's the moral of the story. In our lives, our precious resources that we have, and the most precious, now tell me this isn't true, the most precious resource that you have is your time. It's your time. And you know, you can give your time to a lot of things that you think are good, but today on Mother's Day, I want to tell you what is the greatest. When you can give your time in such a way as the legacy that you leave, the people that you touch, huh? For not just mothers, for all of us, are impacted positively by you. These little ones are going to be that tall soon, right? Invest wisely, parents, grandparents. There's no greater return, is there? There's no greater return. And that's the moral of the story. It's the message of God. You know, when we see Jesus as an example, we see a God who understood priorities. It's not that Jesus didn't love that Canaanite woman. It's not that at all. When he rose from the dead, he had commanded his disciples to go throughout all the world now and spread that good news to every nation, every tribe, every people, right? It was time then. He continually invested then in people who would continually have the time to do it. That's the way Christianity was supposed to be spread. And it still is today. When Christians are willing to take that responsibility, no better place to start than with the little ones that you have influence to. By the way, there's a great ending to this story. Do you know that what happened is when Jochebed put that basket in the river, it floated down the river and Pharaoh's daughter was out bathing, right? And she sees this basket floating by and she recognizes it as one of the Hebrew babies. But, now listen, Jochebed had sent Miriam along with the basket to see what would happen to the child. And when Miriam saw Pharaoh's daughter go to the basket, she was quick to come and say, "Would you like me to go get a Hebrew to help take care of that child?" You gotta love that. And who does she get? Jochebed. Now let me tell you the rub. The rub is Pharaoh's daughter hired Jochebed to be her surrogate. Billy Sunday, the same guy, said, "When I get to heaven, I want to go up to Jochebed and say, 'How much did he pay you to watch your own son?'" I love it, you know. It's just like God, isn't it? To work things out like that. It's just like God. Do the right thing. Leave all the consequences up to God. The right thing is loving your children and bringing them up in the way that they should go. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and for your love for us. Lord, I know that you desire all of us to come under your wings of protection and provision, to be able to trust in you. And Lord, I just pray today that all of us respond to your love and to your challenge today. I pray for mothers and grandmothers in the congregation today that You would give them strength beyond their own. Lord knows they need it to be able, Lord, to be godly examples, to be able to have patience and strength and courage, to be able to give selflessly and sacrificially and make an impact upon these little ones and not so little ones. We pray today, Father God, that you would give them encouragement to know that you're with them. And Lord, for those that have lost moms, we just ask you, Lord, to minister. We ask you, Father God, to minister to those who want to be moms and you aren't yet. We ask you, Father God, to be with those that you will never have that opportunity to say, I'm a mother. But yet, Lord, they know and they need to know today that it's okay. Because in you, O God, they can demonstrate that same kind of love all their lives. But Lord, minister today to each and every one of us. Fill us with courage, Lord, to love deeply like a mother does love. To love, Lord, courageously, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, mothers, don't forget. You get a pretty good-looking carnation there waiting for you on the way out. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. God bless you.